If you're starting out, number one is breathe. Relax. You are not going to do this overnight. But if you breathe and focus on the end goal, don't let distractions keep you away from what you really, really want to do. And you focus entirely from your lead generation to your advertising to your follow-up to customer fulfillment to anything that is facing the customer. Focus entirely on the customer first and on nurturing and giving as much value as possible to them. That's going to serve you well.
Here at Kajabi, we're known for one thing, helping everyday people like you build successful businesses online. With our simple all-in-one platform, we've paved the way for over 100,000 people to create 300,000 products and collectively earn over $3.9 billion in revenue. And the Creators Playbook podcast is here to inspire, educate, and empower you to do the same. So unlike other podcasts that highlight the glory stories of today's most successful entrepreneurs, we're bringing you the real stories from real people who have created real success to give you the advice and playbook you need to succeed in today's digital marketplace. So if you're someone who's looking to start an online business, then allow us to be the first to welcome you home to the Kajabi family.
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Creators Playbook podcast. Today, I'm sitting here with my friend John Weberg, CEO of Profitalize.com. Now, John has worked with a dozen companies or more, several of which have done over $300 million in sales. He's a two-time self-published author. He's a global speaker who's ran three highly successful online businesses operating at an 8x profit margin. So I'm just going to hand it off to the global speaker to give us your intro of who you are and what you do. But I got to say, thanks for joining us first before I lead you into our info. So thank you, John.
Thank you very much as well for having me. I'm very happy to be here for all the Kajabians and everyone else who's listening. And the amazing intro, you did it perfectly. I appreciate it. And it's been a journey. And hopefully I can walk through some of that journey as I got started very young. And I think there's a lot we can unfold over the next 30 minutes, hour, 5 hours, however long we go.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. And I'm really excited to dig into. Today we're going to be talking about in your playbook about some ways to optimize your email for sales conversion. So I'm really excited to learn a little bit more about the methods that you've used to help both yourself as well as your clients, I would assume. But let's just dive into, give us just a kind of an elevator pitch version of who you are and how you serve your customers.
Sure thing. So I got started very young at around 12 years old. I'm a second generation digital marketer / email marketer. My dad brought me into the game very young. And over the years, I've done affiliate marketing, I've done freelancing, I've done you name it. And I've discovered over that time that a lot of my own marketing campaigns have always converted higher, even in affiliate contests, you name it. So that's where the kind of the strategy has been developed over probably now over a decade of experimenting and trying to fine tune it. And currently right now is what I do is kind of what I teach and preach is I consult with companies, I help them improve their email marketing, improve their follow-up, improve their sales processes, kind of growth hack. And my strongest field, though, is in email marketing by far. And the reason why is actually because email marketing is still to date the highest converting form of marketing there is. So I specialize in it because I think it's the most malleable. You can reach the most people the fastest, and you can tell a really good story in ways that you can't with other forms of follow-up that I think it's going to make it special.
Interesting. I'm gonna go off script a little bit. Not that like I have this hard script here, but... I'm interested when you say email is the highest converting marketing channel. What led you to believe that your campaigns were higher converting? Were you testing against yourself, if you will? Like, were you trying different things? And then like what? Well, I'll give you a chance to answer one question at a time there. Yeah. What?
That works. So there's two big things led us on to believe that our email marketing is very good. And when we teach it, it's very effective. Is one, when I first got started in marketing in our businesses, what we were doing is we didn't have a lot of money. So we started off very, very poor. And because of that, we had to make our campaigns as effective as possible. And as we were building an affiliate marketing business at the time, we were an affiliate for, we were doing okay in it. You know, of course, because we didn't have a lot of money, we needed to inject as much profit as possible as quickly as possible in our situation. Again, at this time, I was probably 15. I couldn't even technically legally make money at the time, you know? So I was trying to make things work at a very young age. And what I thought about, my dad, Richard Weberg, who's also also my affiliate marketing business partner. So we thought about, as we were sending emails, as we were building our list, doing what every business does, it's really like, why isn't this converting as much as you should? Because as business owners, you think you have a really good offer. You're probably, with your advertising or lead gen, you're reaching out to mostly the right people. And we were thinking through, there should be a higher percent of these people buying. And we kind of brainstormed and thought through, well, what would make someone buy? We're like, it's not really features. It's not really even your offer. What makes people really buy, what we came up with, was how much they build true, like, know, and trust with you, with the product and service being offered, with the company behind it, and as well, how much of a relationship you've built with them. And we found that through taking a look at, like, our best performing stuff, our marketing, our ads, you name it. And for example, if you take a look at the Harman Brothers, their ads, take a look at any very successful advertising, marketing, follow-up, you name it, there's always a very human, authentic, genuine, surprising factor to it. So we decided, well, we should do this as well in our email marketing. Let's be as human, as connecting, as genuine, as funny, as entertaining, not worrying about click-through rates, which is important, not worrying about open rates, though, which is also very important, just being as relatable as is possible. And that converted when we did that, using a few different strategies of how to relate to people. Because in any audience, you have people that like storytelling. You have people that like more logic, numbers, facts, and figures. You have people who like how to, they want freebies. If you can relate to all these types of peoples, and they're also second types of personality types within them as well, they'll buy because they built like, no one trusts you. You've given them pure value. They actually relate with you. And some people even buy just because you've built a relationship, not because they even want or need your product and service. That's how good, if you really do this really well and you build a human connection, it just outperforms anything. And we did it for affiliate marketing, especially, performed really well. And I'll quickly go through the second example as well. The second example is, we proved it when we would compete in affiliate marketing contests. So whether it was health and wellness niche, whether it was marketing and sales education products being sold, it doesn't matter. We would outperform people. You know, people think, well, if you, bigger list, you're going to generate more leads and customers. You're going to get more results in general. And that's generally true. However, when you hyper optimize your follow-up in this way that we'll kind of walk through more, I'm sure we outperform people with 5 times, 10 times, 20 times the size of our leads list. So in affiliate contests, maybe we won't place first. We did place first in many. That's what this is from, and many other things. This watch is from as well. But a lot of times we take second or third or fourth, which is fine. Not first, but fine. But we would still performing at third or first or fourth or fifth, wherever we would perform people, like, for example, in one affiliate contest, Mike Filsaime, who has a list of millions and millions of leads, who's very well known. Respect to Mike Filsaime, very great marketer. We could outperform him in a certain contest, or other people who had way bigger email lists. And we were wondering, like, how are we outperforming some of these people? It's because we convert so much of our leads so highly that we don't need the huge leads list. We can convert a smaller one. If we had an even bigger one, it'd be even bigger numbers.
Absolutely amazing. I think that is probably for anyone who's just considering starting. And I mention right. this on the podcast all the time. I've got my own little newsletter that I'm working on. So
right.
my side gig, if you will. And I have, I think, 41 subscribers so far. If I could find a way to maximize that into some serious sales, that's really meaningful. But even more practically, if someone does have, you know, a small list, the more you are able to capitalize on that list, as you said, the better. Yes. So that makes a ton of sense. And I'm also mm-hmm. interested in your thoughts on, you mentioned email marketing being one of the most effective forms of marketing today. And I'm mm-hmm. just curious, is there like a latest statistics out there, or like what gives you that insight?
So usually every year I'm researching at the beginning of the year. I spend the time researching and learning as much as I can about email marketing, about follow-up, about advertising. Like, what's the highest converting ads from the biggest companies in the world right now? What's ones that are going viral? And I take a look and study all these different formats. So every year I usually see released something about email marketing, and every year it is astounding. I am biased. I see it from my own personal expertise. And also I take it to be true from the logic of advertising, marketing, and sales in general. So from any audience you're reaching out to, from all my experience, whether it's for myself or clients I'm working with, the vast majority of people you close never buy. They don't buy initially, because it takes building a relationship with them to get them to buy. It takes covering their objections. It takes showing them how valuable your product is. It takes showing them how ethical and transparent your company is and how good your products and services are. It takes that in order to convert them, whether it's 1 day, 10 days. We've had leads in our list convert years after the fact. So just from that as well, it takes the most time to convert people. And whether you're running ads right now or not, or you're doing outbound lead generation, it doesn't matter. You're going to see the majority of your customers come from any leads list. So it's email marketing, follow-up, texting, you name it. And a lot of businesses go, well, I'm not seeing that. It's because you're not following up. It's because you're not emailing your leads list every day. If you were, you would see this is where the bulk of your sales should be coming from. So anyone, which is, I will say, I hate to call everyone out listening, 95 to 98% of you who aren't emailing your list daily, every other day, or like saying even a weekly newsletter, you're burning your business's money. Every day you are burning a little bit of money because that could be more sales, more customers. One customer who buys a $7 product who might end up buying a $197 upsell, who might buy coaching for $20,000, or a SaaS customer for a SaaS company that does a $47 a month subscription that over the next 5 years is thousands and thousands or tens of thousands of dollars, you name it. So in general, you have to be following up daily, every other day, or weekly. If you just want to barely hurt my feelings, it has to be at least once a week.
Yes. Well, I like how that really reinforces your earlier point too, on mm-hmm. just that relationship building does indeed take time. And that's something that maybe other marketing channels don't really afford you as much opportunity to do as email does. So
especially at scale.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Well, I'll bring mm-hmm. us back on script again, if you will. let's talk a little bit about, you mentioned earlier, you started this at 12. And so I always like mm-hmm. to ask what the first moment was, the first memory you have where you knew you wanted to do what you do for a living.
Yep. And what it was for me, and I think this is important, was taking a look at outside of myself, actually, and taking a look at my dad and what my dad and mom were able to do in his online business to take our family out of living in someone else's basement and welfare apartments. That was huge. And also what I saw as a young kid, and what people look at nowadays, and it still looks nice, is the lifestyle. I saw the entrepreneur lifestyle of traveling the world, of speaking on stages. And I do some of this now. I still want to do a little more, but I do a little bit of it. But seeing that in just a completely different from what I was actually living in, like for me, a lot of the stuff, like the first big moment, I'll go to this, the first big, wow, this stuff works moment, which was actually even more impactful than, hey, maybe I should try this stuff, was for affiliate marketing. The same guy, Joel Terrien, who gave us these awards, because we were one of the top performers. I believe we were the second best performing in his company. He rented out a mansion in Cabo San Lucas, 7 days, everything was paid for, amazing experience. Coming from living in someone's basement, it was literally every day we'd wake up and go, can I touch this? The scene, looking over, you're in this mansion, this infinity pool overlooking the infinity hot tub, going to the oceans, like, this isn't real, is it? This is so like fantasy. And that gave me my moment of, wow, this stuff actually works and I can change my life. Like, this is top 1% extraordinary. If I could just get like living very comfortably, being able to travel, you know, take care of my future children, leave a legacy, you know, all these other things that are very important. If I could do that, if I can do this, I can do this. And I want everyone to know, you know, going through my own journey, like you're going to go through your journey and you're going to get these moments of, I get my first sale or I get my first 10 leads or I hit my certain benchmark. Oh, if I can do this, look forward and think about, there's so much more still to accomplish, to become, to reach. And I want anyone who's listening as well, if you're struggling, if you're not getting the leads you want, if your business is not getting the results you want, you name it, listen to and apply the advice you're hearing from me and every other guest on this incredible podcast. And apply all the knowledge you're learning and know that the future is brighter. There is a way to get to where you want to become in life and in business. And I kind of went to a few different verticals there, but in general, when I saw my family change their situations, then when I was able to experience it like myself, real life, it was just, it seemed fake.
Well, I love the background. Love how long you've been doing this too. Such a cool story to be starting out at 12 years old. I'd love to just kind of segue that into what was going on and when what stage was your business in when you sought out a tool like a Kajabi, or maybe you didn't even use Kajabi at first. And then also, like, what did it actually help you solve?
For sure. And as we talked about earlier, I'm someone who genuinely loves Kajabi for a variety of reasons. And I'll walk through it's because as I went through this journey, you know, starting very, very young age, I've used every tool and resource there is under the sun. I've used Word WordPress. I've used attachments with WordPress. I've used plugins. I've used, you name the CRM, you name the autoresponder. And from 12, 13, 14, I had a WordPress blog. I was getting subscribers really long to like 15, 16. I had an affiliate marketing business. I was using a CRM and maybe an autoresponder and a couple other tools to where I am today. I use one. And it is in fact Kajabi. I built Profitalize off of Kajabi. Everything in it is built on Kajabi. And I think my moment of, wow, things can be so much easier was when CRMs, like full service CRMs, first started coming out, probably when I was around 16, 17, 18. And then I dabbled with a couple of them. I've used so many of them. I've dabbled with using different ones, and almost every other CRM I've ever used, there's usually an issue with, it's not user-friendly, especially for a beginner. I can navigate it, but other people I want to introduce to the platform, it's not as simple, user-friendly. Just the design of it, just the design of placements of where the marketing tools are, how they work, how they structure, how the AI tool prompts you to do different things. It's astounding. So one is usability. Two is most CRMs you find don't actually do everything. So unlike Kajabi, they don't actually have their own affiliate software. They probably have a page builder that kind of functions, and they probably have an email software. They don't have an actual website, like your own website. It's like you have to fix this domain to do this and to do that. No. With Kajabi, you have your email marketing, you have your funnel builder, you have your website builder. They don't, almost no other CRM has the blog function. They have the blog function. You can have your own podcast. You can sell your own product and services, no problem. With Kajabi payment processing, you don't even need Stripe. You know, there's so many different things that Kajabi has all in one, which is why I sink my teeth into Kajabi. And I tell anyone and everyone, like, if you're going to use something that is also very affordable, especially considering how much you're going to spend on all these different tools and resources. If you want great support, I've only had amazing support from you guys. The best podcast host there is to date. To date, I mean, Kajabi is my go-to. And I built all my businesses now. I'm building on Kajabi. Amazing tool. And I am biased, but it's some pretty genuine good bias.
Well, you're too kind with all of your compliments. I hope we can live up to that fine reputation that you have given us. I've definitely been there before when you talk about like the WordPress jumble of plugins and like
tools and
I'm even a software engineer by trade, and nice. even in that, like going through upgrades, every time I've went through that process, it was like, oh, I just about had a heart attack because it's like, oh, something might break because this thing is made by that person and this thing's made by that person. And what if that person didn't talk to this person?
And or their webhook didn't fire, or their new name it didn't fire. And oh, there goes all my lead gen that's been going on and my ads that I've been running for the past few days. Oh no.
Yeah. It's like building your business on a stack of cards. So completely hear that.
Can I give one more? I hate to go off script too, but one more thing is what I really, really genuinely appreciate to my soul about Kajabi is the amount of updates. I got to shout out to your guys' tech team who's building the software behind it. The updates and the consistency of updates of your guys' stuff is immaculate. Anyone who right now, if you have Kajabi, you need to get the higher plan, or if you're using Kajabi for free, you need to get a paid plan. Doesn't matter. Sink your teeth in this, because I have never seen a single other CRM company make these changes this quick. And also, when your company makes changes, you announce them like in your Facebook group, in your emails, etc. I don't know a single other company that does that. I won't name of competitors, but the many close competitors I genuinely name is, especially just on updating your actual software in a timely manner, not like every 6 or 7, 8 years, like one I won't mention, astounding.
I love it. Yes, the team is working their tails off to deliver nonstop. Mm-hmm. But let's get back into your playbook. We're going to be talking about, I'll just use your words in this case, hyper-optimizing, follow-up for 4x higher sales conversions.
Yes.
I guess before we start breaking this down, like in your own words, like kind of give us just like the overarching scenario of what you're going to help our listeners do.
For sure. So just like I walked through, you know, the reason behind the strategies is we want to maximize the, I'll go through the reason why is we want to maximize the money you're spending on ads, the money you are spending on leads, and turn that into profit as quickly as possible. And also for the long term. So what the strategy that we're going to walk you through is going to be, how can we turn turn as many of your leads into customers as possible, and not just customers, but lifetime customers. And also something that most people don't talk about is also retain leads as long as possible. So every leads list, every email list, follow-up list of any kind, has a drop-off rate of leads that just will inevitably stop reading, stop clicking on, stop opening your messages. So something that's essential is that you keep them as interested as long as possible, because leads that are nurtured longer by default will convert at a higher pace more often. So the strategy is, one, let's keep the people who are going onto your list as engaged as long as possible. Let's nurture them as long as possible. Let's build a relationship with them as fast as possible. And by doing that, almost regardless of open and click-through rates, almost regardless, you're going to see more sales conversions, more of your leads becoming customers as fast as possible. And you'll feel better about your marketing. And it just converts way higher. And it, yeah, this feels great because you're not just focusing on numbers. Like, numbers are crucial, but the feeling factor is going to, as we'll kind of walk through, it's going to outperform a lot of what you normally hear about email marketing and how to improve your follow-up.
I love it. Well, let's just start breaking it down. Tell us more about step one here. Tell us about the three E's in every follow-up sequence you create.
I love it. And it's a term I've coined. Please no one steal it. So the three E's is made because in any audience of people, you have different types of personalities. As I walked through a little bit earlier, you have people who are more logical, people who are more emotional, some people who relate to different types of information. So these three E's were created because we want to relate to each of these people and also relate to their other senses as well. So for example, I love storytelling. So someone who was to advertise to me, if they did really good storytelling and they had a lot of social proof, they would get me every time. So you have to relate to their main dominant point of what they relate to, and the secondary, even third one as well. So the three E's, that's why it was created. What the three E's is any type of communication, follow-up, you name it, whether it's written, verbal, on a VSL, on ads, mainly we're talking about email marketing and follow-up, is communication that is entertaining, that is educating, and that is enticing. And it's in that order. Because in order for you to get someone to buy, they first have to be taught, given value to. And in order for someone to be given value to and taught and really nurtured, you have to first get their attention. So your job in all of your email marketing follow-up, other than, of course, to cover people's objections, to give social proof, to build a relationship, is to make sure you are entertaining, educating, and enticing them. So entertaining is literally anything from storytelling to funny skits to it could be music videos. Some people, like, I won't name a competitor, they have a famous music video they made that did very well. Anything that is grabbing attention, that is still nurturing, it is still promoting, it is still selling to your audience because you have to sell, but that is focused on entertaining and building that relationship first. So in the first 3 to 5 emails in any sequence, I usually build 21 to like 28 day email sequences for my automated sequences, not my broadcast, which are also done every day. But for my sequences, the first 3 to 5 emails are all building that relationship first, getting them to like, love, and want more of my follow-up to be seen. Then the next 3 to 5 days after that, it is all focused on maybe even 7. You could go 7, 7, 7 for 21. Next 3 to 5 to 7 days after that is educating. So how to, value, freebies, guides, resources, massive, massive social proof. Anything and everything I can to give them, to make them know this is the best decision they can make for whatever pain point or pleasure point I'm searching for or trying to avoid. This company with these products and services, with this person behind it, this is the absolute best choice because I like them, because they're valuable, because they offer the best. I'll get to features, I'll get to bonuses, I'll get to this other stuff, but I have to first build this first stuff first. But anyways, so the second phase is educate, give value, nurture that relationship until they love you, until they're begging for you to let you buy from them or let them buy from you. And then finally, the next 3 to 5, 7 days is great. Now that we've built this amazing relationship, you already want to work with us heavily. Now here's some heavy sales language. Here's a real heavy VSL focused on we are the best. Here's why we're the best. Here's how we're going to guarantee you're going to get the best results possible. We're going to solve these problems. We're going to hit these pleasure points. You are in good hands. And when you do that, also in your ads, so when you have ads that gather attention, build value, that build a relationship, and then ads that, hey, here's how to actually solve one of your problems. If you want to do more of solving your problem, go to this resource. You know, if you also structure that, not just in your email marketing and in your follow-up, but also in your ads and your VSLs, the conversion rate you will see and the higher open and click rate you will see from your audience actually being engaged with your email marketing and with your follow-up, with your messaging, is astronomical because you're focusing entirely on the customer and what they want. every customer wants to buy from a product and service and company they can relate to, that they love, that they can tell other people about, like, oh, I love this brand, dude. The quality is so good, whatever. I talked to a sales rep. When I bought the product, I got a freebie with it. I got a cool new hat with it. You want to give such a customer experience that it draws in more people, and that people you are communicating to want to work with you naturally. And real quickly, I've been talking for a while. What this does is really good email marketing that is focused on the three E's. Is what it does is it affects everything else. It affects your branding. It affects your lead retention, your customer retention. It affects word of mouth. It affects everything. So focus on your email marketing and follow-up so much. If you can build that customer experience with follow-up, you will scale and produce so many more sales conversions like crazy.
Well, I hope you're not tired of talking, because we still have a few more steps to make it through.
Yes.
Let's just segue right into step number two of creating 3 to 5 additional sales pages for every offer that you send your email list. Tell me more about that. What does that mean, and why 3 to 5?
Yeah. So this is, again, around the three E's, and it's something that almost no one does and no one teaches. And again, what we realized is in our email marketing follow-up, which we talked about how we can make it convert higher, is if I send you the same, let's say I have all this amazing email marketing follow-up and I'm relating to you and building trust with you, but in all these 21 emails, I send you to the same sales page 21 times. The 22nd time of you seeing it, it's probably not going to make a difference. Maybe the email the communication before it did, but seeing the same sales page isn't going to get you to buy. That's another part of what we realized is we saw this in, for example, in affiliate marketing that we were doing. You know, usually companies that have affiliates, they have, you know, sales tools for them to use, and often they usually have one main affiliate link. And this is a huge mistake, because again, the 10th, the 20th, the 50th time I see this link, it's the same message. You need to always be surprising with different value at different times, different types of ways to look at your offer. So what we do is we advise people, anyone, whether you're an agency, you're a consultant, you're a SaaS company, it doesn't matter. You need to have 3 to 5 different sales pages. You have your one main sales page that you split test, that you optimize, the same one that everyone already has in place. You keep that. But in your email marketing follow-up or any form of follow-up you produce after the first probably 5 to 7 emails, you want to send them a different sales page focused on one of the other biggest pain or pleasure points that they have. So the main one covers just about everything. Most VSLs or sales pages, landing pages that people see are going to cover, you know, a little bit about objections, a little bit about their pleasure points, a little bit about social proof, a little bit about all these different metrics. You need to hammer with one of these 3 to 5 other sales pages that they will get varyingly every 3 to 5 to 7 days in your email sequences. You need to hammer down and focus on one of these points. For example, the second, let's say we're going to do a 7777 sequence indefinitely. The first 7 days, they're going to get, along with the varying communication and follow-up, they're going to be sent to your main sales page. The next 7 days, they're going to get a sales page that's just social proof. I mean, stack as much Facebook comments, as many testimonials, as many videos, every bit of social proof you can, and focus on that in all of your copy. The next 7 days, you send out to your email list, you send out just, maybe it would be freebies, gifts, bonuses, stack as much good nurturing as you can. Give. Hey, we want to over enjoy you with so much free content that you're going to be able to get X result and solve pain, pleasure point, etc. So here's a guide on how to do XYZ. Here's an entire free course on how you can do XYZ in the next 30 days. You get the point. Stack value. And then you keep doing that with each main pain, pleasure point, or perspective you want to hit your audience with. And by doing this, conversions go up, because someone who didn't relate to the 85th time of seeing your VSL, oh, this is a page I haven't seen before. I'm going to listen to this one a little longer. I'm going to pay attention. Oh, it didn't quite get me. But this third or fourth or fifth sales page they sent that focused on social proof or storytelling or on why the company was created because they care so much about this problem that the customer's facing, this hit me. So now I buy. This strategy works immaculately.
Makes perfect sense on the surface. Tell me a little bit about, before we go to the next step, like I just, as I'm listening to you, I'm going, holy cow, this sounds like a lot of work. Are you duplicating any content? Are your pages all entirely unique, or how are you getting all of this done, I guess?
Right, right. And it is a lot of work. And I will say that it is worth it because of the profitability that will be produced on the back end. So for example, in affiliate offers, like when we would outperform other people in affiliate marketing, it would be because, you know, the first promotion, let's just say you have a launch. Let's imagine you have a launch and you're promoting this product and you're sending out the regular emails you would day one, day two, day three, day four. Because we stagger, we have such different messaging on such different days. And because it's never the same message, the amount of leads they're buying is substantial. The first thing is the profitability of doing it. Even though it sounds like a lot of work, everyone listening, do it. The amount of money you will produce from your email list, and it can be for a texting list, a calling list, anything, is substantial. Number two is something we try to do is dissect each important section of our main VSL or sales page we create, or dissect a certain part of the customer and what they're looking for. So for example, if I was to create just two variations, one around social proof and one around the company relating to us, I would go, okay, let me take a look at the elements I've already created for social proof. And then go, okay, let's create a VSL or a sales page just around this social proof. I want a video on it. I got to make sure I have at least a headline for it, a subheadline, CTA around it. And then I want to stack below it as much social proof, testimonials, reviews as possible. So then I go to, okay, where in the entire history of my business can I find good, substantial, good quality reviews, testimonials, social proof of any kind? Who can I ask for right now? Who can I go to and ask for that I've done business with in the past, or that I'm doing business with right now, or that I might do business with in the future that I can also use or ask for a video? I do this all the time with a client I've helped. I often forget to ask for testimonials. And the best way to ask is just go, hey, I was just wondering, could you shoot me like a 30 second, minute long video about even just me, my ethics, about who I am as a person? It doesn't even have to be like, I use this program and it helped me accomplish X, Y results in whatever days. And it doesn't have to be that. Because again, we're thinking that we always have to sell to people. And your job is to always first nurture people before you do any selling. So I ask about four testimonials, just about anything regarding me, the company or product in question, or about the product itself in question, or the results people have gotten, etc. So you basically want to deep dive and focus on whichever perspective you're going to go with, whether it's social proof, whether it's the giving value, bonuses, deals, everything I can throw at them. Hyper focus on what can I do now? How can I look at the past of what have we've already done? You name it, to build this new sales page. And hyper focus, do everything you can to build it out. And if you can get a sales page that has a few scrolls worth of content, it could just be a VSL. It could just be a VSL with a headline and a button to buy, or a button to schedule a call, or a button to go to a checkout cart. It could just be that. But as much as you can stack it with as much information as possible, the better. So what I advise is people is breathe, focus on creating one other one. Then once you've kind of, okay, I know how to kind of create another VSL, I can maybe create it now for freebies, gifts, and etc. Then, okay, do that same process you did for the one you just created and do it for the other and take it one step at a time. And you'll eventually get so good at it is when you launch new offers, new products. So for example, I would do this, if I was promoting Kajabi, I would do this around, for example, I could do it around the CRM. I could do it around the email marketing side of the product. I could do it around the podcasting part of the product. I could do it around any one of these different factors and hit all of them with 3 to 5 different sales pages. However, that is crazy because that's a lot of work. Everyone listening, stick with just create one additional one and watch as your conversions go up. Watch as more of your leads become buyers and then create another one. And now you have 2 to 3 to 4 to play with that will just boost conversions like crazy.
Yeah, I love that. You can always do one more. I think if nothing else, you can digest that much. Right. Speaking of one more, let's take it on to into the next step here, where we're going to talk a little bit about how you split test to ensure higher open and click-through rates.
Yes, because split testing is, I'm telling everyone, other than everything we've gone through, it is the one thing that costs you just about nothing that will increase your conversions and your profits and everything else that you want to do to grow your business. Split test is like, it's like the most common sense thing that we all have available to us, but no one almost ever does. So I'm telling everyone right now, along with emailing your list, using the 3 E's, maybe creating another VSL or two, is doing a split test in the first place is crucial. Because let's just say for any email sequence, if you get a 20% open rate to 30%, that's 50% more people opening your email. If you just go with just that, just on one intro email, that usually means around 50% 50% more people because 50% more open are going to click on this link. If 50% more people go to your checkout cart or go to your sales page or go to your booking call page, that's that many more customers, or should be if your conversion rate stays somewhat the same. So if you do that across all of your emails, across all of your subject lines, across all of your body copy, you're going to notice a huge difference. So what I advise, if you're going to do split tests for your email marketing, the most simplest, most effective ones you can do is obviously across any automations. So an automated email sequence you've built out of any kind. First split test priority is your headline. As I believe David Ogilvy says, he goes 50%, or I think he says 70% of your ad budget goes into just headlines, because your headline is what starts all the other interactions down the pipeline. So headlines on all emails must be split tested first. Secondly is, of course, body copy, because body copy dictates who's going to click on and when they're going to click on the CTA. And then thirdly, then you split test your CTAs. And how you split test these three factors, I tie back into the three E's. So what I want people to do is that if you're going to decide I'm going to split test a 7-day sequence or a 21-day email sequence, is segment it based upon the type of messaging they're receiving in each of those 7 days. So if, say, for example, your first 7 days is more enticing email copy. So the headline, the copy, and the CTAs are all more enticing. Like, grab this deal, this discount, this bonus, this amazing offer. And the next 7 days are going to be entertaining. Hey, here's how to relate with us, relate with who we are, our sales reps, our team, our company, our product and services, etc. Is you want to split test the open and click throughs. And if you have the good enough tracking to actually see the sales generated between each of these 7 days to see which one has the highest open rates, click through rates, and sales conversions. Because then if you split test like this, you can identify, you can do this with broadcast as well. If you're going to do 21 days of broadcast and see which ones perform the best, is you want to identify which of these types of messaging resonates the most with your audience. Because if you can identify whether it's entertaining, enticing, or educating types of information that relates the most with your audience, you can use more of that in all of your follow-up and have, by default, higher conversions at scale because you've identified the type of communication that your email list relates with most. You still want to use these varieties, but maybe in the first 7 days of every sequence, you use entertaining or educating follow-up because you've identified your list relates with that the most. That is powerful split testing. That's split testing done right and done at the psychological level of how your leads actually react to messaging.
Yeah, I mean, I think that split testing is one of those things that is, as you mentioned, like, it literally doesn't cost you a thing other than a little bit of extra time.
Right.
And again, just doing one more can make such a huge difference. Well, let's actually keep going. Take us through step four. How do we segment our leads and customers to just maximize those conversion rates?
Yeah. So that's key as well. And before I continue real quickly, I will say, anyone listening, this is a lot. This is a lot of ones. If you do all of them, you're going to see such higher conversions. But like he just said, like Jared just said, do one, create one additional VSL, split test one email sequence, etc. See how it goes. Because a lot of times we receive this information on podcasts, we receive this information at events, you name it, and we don't apply what we're hearing. Apply one, see the difference. See if it's right, see if it's wrong. Maybe I'm completely wrong. I don't think so, because I've proven this stuff to work for quite a long time, but try it out and see how it works. Now, to get to, refresh me what you just said.
We're going to talk on your step four on how to segment your leads and customers for maximum conversion rates.
Thank you so much. So segmenting is equally as important as split testing, and actually could be more important. And the reason why is because segmenting reaches your audience, especially in email marketing follow-up, but any follow-up, it reaches your audience and leads based upon the actions they are or are not taking. You can further customize your follow-up based upon what they are or are not doing. So someone who is not engaged in the email list needs different follow-up and messaging to get them to finally engage. They need something surprising, exciting, something to finally draw their attention with really crazy headlines. Versus someone who is already engaged, who's clicking on emails, who's opening emails, etc. You just haven't met. You just haven't met one of their pain or pleasure points hard enough yet to get them to become a buyer. So you would follow up with them differently than just exciting, crazy headlines. So that's just a preface of, you need to do some kind of list segmentation. Now, what is the best simple, actionable email list segmentation you can do right now? Or texting or calling, any kind of follow-up segmentation. Number one, unengaged versus engaged leads. So leads who are not clicking and opening should be treated differently and get different email sequences than those who are not. You could also, if you have the right tracking, if you can see and separate your leads from your buyers, this is the biggest one. Your buyers should never get the same messaging saying to go to a checkout cart, to buy a product and service, to go, what's that, you name it, to go buy a product they've already purchased. So at minimum, the first, I would backtrack and say that at minimum, you need to have a difference in your emailing or follow-up between leads and buyers. If you don't have that, you're going to have customers who aren't happy. You're going to have customers who do chargebacks. You have customers who do refunds. You're going to have a lot of issues with your customers because they're getting the same communication as someone who hasn't bought, which doesn't make any sense. You have to meet your customer or your lead where they are at in their journey and follow up accordingly. So that's number one. Number two is unengaged versus engaged, leads and buyers. So leads over here, buyers over here, they get different sequences, but also unengaged versus engaged leads and unengaged versus engaged customers also should receive their own sequences, because someone who buys a product and service who isn't buying your upsells and downsells, for some reason, they aren't buying those upsells and downsells. You want to re-engage them with different types of messaging to get them to buy other product and services. Someone who is buying product and services, they're going along swimmingly. That is perfection. You want to make sure they continually do that with nurture, 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 nurture. So those are the main ones. Another really great one is checkout cart people who dip out or leave the checkout cart process who don't purchase. If you can segment these people who have hit a checkout cart, hit a VSL, hit a sales page, and have dipped out within probably 5 to 10 minutes, and engage with them to get them to go back to that page or to go back to the checkout cart within 5 to 10 minutes after that, you increase your conversion rate of that lead by like 50 to 70%. It's really, really effective. So leads and customers need to be followed up with differently, how they are or are not engaged, people who dip out of checkout carts. And just in general, if you design a sequence, say for example, it's a sequence that's educating, and you're getting people who are engaged, but they aren't clicking, or if they are clicking, they aren't purchasing. Use the three E's to segment them into relating in another powerful way that this current sequence is not. So this is an entertaining sequence of follow-up they are receiving, very entertaining or educating, and they're engaging, they're opening emails, they're clicking, but they're not buying. It means something has not clicked in their brain to get them to want to work with you yet. So they need to be segmented, not just sent the same messaging over and over and over again. They need to be segmented into a different sequence that builds and focuses on another one of the E's. And then if that doesn't work, you segment them into another one of the E's and continually do that until you get them to pop.
Well, this has been a lot of value packed into 4 steps. So just for for all of our listeners, recap this as well as for maybe someone who's consuming this on one of our social channels. If you can, feed us back in just super concise those 4 steps.
So the three E's is in all content, communication, follow-up, ads, you name it, but especially in email marketing, especially in follow-up, you want to first entertain and get the attention of your leads and prospects. Number 2, you want to educate and nurture and give immense, irreplaceable value to them that draws them in. Number 3, you finally want to entice and get them to buy and sell to them. The second thing you want to do is create one variation of a sales page or VSL you have, or a call booking page you have, create a variation of it that focuses in the headline and all the copy in the video that focuses on another element. So it could focus on social proof is your strongest one. It could focus on the journey of why you care so much about your customer and types of results they're going to see, like really hone down on that. Or it could focus on, you know, being really funny and entertaining. You choose it, what you think is going to resonate the most with your audience. Choose one of those. Number 3, split testing. Split test headlines, body copy, CTAs, and you'll also want to split test which form of the three E's resonates most with your audience in any sequences. And then segment your leads based upon if they are engaged, if they're unengaged, if they are a lead versus a customer. If they are a customer who has or has not purchased this product, that changes entirely from the rest of the emails they should be getting. Segment your leads based upon if they've hit a checkout cart, if they haven't hit a checkout cart, overall activity, and segment also as well using these three E's. You're going to see substantially better using one of these things. If you do one of these tactics, especially I believe the first 2 to 3, use one of these tactics, your email marketing follow-up, and even if you apply it to your ads, it's going to all convert better because you're using human marketing. You're actually relating to your audience. You're you're actually building value with them. And by doing that, you're going to feel better about yourself, going to feel better about your business, and your customers and leads are going to feel better about you. And because of that, they're going
to
buy more.
Well, as we said earlier, just my encouragement to each of our listeners here is just at least pick one and try one.
Yes.
And then add one.
Yes.
Once you've tried one, I think we can all manage to do at least one of these things.
Yes.
So in wrapping this up a little bit, let's just take it back to just business advice in general for anyone who's considering maybe starting out an online business. Anything that you would like to point out to them, like what would you encourage them to do if they were starting out today?
If you're starting out, number one is breathe. Relax. You are not going to do this overnight. I thought I would be personally earning hundreds of millions by now, and I'm not quite hitting that mark yet. I do very successfully, but I think people learning that it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take time. It's going to take a bunch of work. It's going to take a bunch of resources. But if you breathe and focus on the end goal, don't let distractions keep you away from what you really, really want to do. And you focus entirely from your lead generation to your advertising to your follow-up to customer fulfillment to anything that is facing the customer, focus entirely on the customer first and on nurturing and giving and being value, giving as much value as possible to them. That's going to serve you well. And one other quick thing is take a look at what already works. Take a look at the best converting competitors you have in your space, like the top people. What are they doing? How can you emanate that? Not copy. I don't like copying. How can you emanate that? Customize and personalize it to your audience, to your product and services, and study what already is performing exceptionally well and duplicate that for your success. And take a ethical shortcut of experimenting and trying new things, which is important. It's very important. That's what I'm advising you to do right now is experiment and try new things. But also using some of what I'm already teaching and I've taught here is using some of what already works and applying it. That's the biggest thing is we listen to podcasts, we go to the events, we go to masterminds, we learn all this stuff, but applying just one single thing is the hardest thing to do. So whether it's my strategy and advice, whether it's the next guest, one before you, someone you really appreciate in marketing or business, study, dissect, how can I emanate this, customize it, personalize it, and using this approach for business, you're going to start off on a much more successful note than just going, I'm going to do it all myself. I'm going to try it all myself. Because when I first did that, my first business when I was 15, I worked at Walmart, the only job I've had, worked at Walmart. Thank you, Walmart. Shout out to Walmart. Brand appeal. I took all the money I took from them, which was about $2,000 to $3,000. I put it in my business. I told my dad, who was already in business successful, I'm not going to listen to you. I want to do it on my own. Business failed miserably. It did not work out at all until I took a little advice, take a look at what other people are doing and started learning and applying. And then affiliate marketing, business, etc. started working out because I got past myself. I breathed, took a step back and said, how can I take a look at what is already working and use some of that?
Well, John, take us through just anything that you have coming down the pipeline, any exciting future plans for your business or any launches for yourself that you're working on.
I appreciate that. I think one thing is to go to my YouTube channel and learn from me on YouTube. Just look up John Weberg on YouTube, watch my videos, get as much value as possible. I teach a lot of the stuff very in depth, for free. Just learn. As well, if you want to learn more about business, and not for free, go to profitalize.com. That is my business I have recently launched and I'm building. And as well, watch for me on different podcasts, different stages, etc. I'm on a speaking/podcast spree of sorts because I love to just give as much as possible. And I like to emanate what I say people should do, you know, give as much value as possible. If people happen to buy, great. If they don't, that's great too. I want them to just learn and grow their businesses and succeed. So youtube.com/@John Weberg or type in John Weberg, subscribe, hit the notification bell to my channel, and then profitalize.com. Or if you want to learn more about me, go to johnweberg.com. There's no H in John, just johnweberg.com. And other than that, if you are a part of Kajabi and you're listening to this, keep being a part of Kajabi. Trust in the development. And I can't say this enough, the development of the product and services and what's still to come. Kajabi is one of very few companies I've trusted enough to build my business on. And I see the future of what Kajabi is still going to become. It is and will keep being the number one in the space by far. And I'm not just saying that because I'm on the podcast. I'm saying that because I actually truly mean it. Otherwise, I wouldn't be on the podcast. And otherwise, I wouldn't have built profitalize.com, my future thing I'm building on Kajabi. So I just want to say that too.
Well, I love to hear it. Of course, we'll have all of that information for our listeners on our show notes so they can quickly and easily access your information. Awesome. But wanted to say thanks again, John, for taking the time out of your day to share all of this information with our podcast listeners.
And I thank you as well and hope everyone has an absolutely astounding day.
Yes.
Can I leave with two quotes?
Please.
Cool. I have two quotes. These I also made these when I was really young. This is one of the things I'm proud of, that I came up with these when I was younger. So the first quote is very basic. You get the meaning. Aspire for progress, hunger for success, and strive for greatness, which is obvious. And the second quote I live my entire life by, and that is that your attitude is not defined by your life. Your life is defined by your attitude, which simply means regardless of your circumstances, regardless of your business, regardless of your spouse, your kids, whatever else, you have to focus on what's in here, and you get to decide what life means to you and how you react and how you operate in life. And I always advise operate with positivity, love, passion, and just give.
I love it. Well, there's no better way to end the show than that. I will leave our listeners with those two quotes. Thank you again for listening, and we'll see you next week on the Creators Playbook Podcast.